Welcome to Raptors Over Everything, a podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. This is a reaction podcast because the Raptors just had their championship parade, and it was one of the most emotionally satisfying days I've ever had. And joining me to recap the madness is Alex Wong, who, bro, did you really dip after like 20 minutes of the parade?
So, we were there. Where do we start? We started at Exhibition Place.
Yes.
Where the parade route started. I think the first person we saw was Masai, right?
Yeah.
We saw Masai. We saw Bobby. They were on the smaller cars. And then we saw the double-decker buses with all the players. So we were getting footage for Yahoo, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know. There was just no direction. I know they went on Lakeshore. But I was trying to actually head to Nathan Phillips Square because I thought they would probably be there by around 12, right?
Yeah.
Is what everyone was saying. But by the time I actually walked towards Nathan Phillips Square, but like once I got to like University, like King and University, it was just impossible. Like there was nowhere to go. So I just decided to go home, and then I took a 2-hour nap.
Bro, what?
I took a 2-hour nap, and you know, they still hadn't started when I got back. And I was able to catch up on everything on social media. Listen, I'm 35 and wash, man.
I took the exact opposite approach.
We both started
at the OVO practice facility. Yeah. And I literally followed the parade until King and University.
Yeah, no, so I respect that.
It was
that
like 3 hours.
Like 2 hours? 2 hours, 3 hours?
Yeah. It was like probably 3 hours. Yeah. I got back to the office around 2, I think.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was great because at first I was like, let me do some periscopes, let me just get some like footage for people, because I figured like a lot of people are probably at Nathan Phillips, like there wasn't nearly as many people at the start of the parade, which actually was great, because that way you could access the players a lot more. Like people were throwing their stuff up to like, you know, Norm Powell to sign stuff, or like Jeremy Lin to sign stuff. Yo, shout out Jeremy, he signed the OVO, or he signed the Mitchell & Ness Chinese New Year jersey.
Oh, he signed yours?
Yeah. Well, he was also wearing the exact same jersey as me, so he pointed me out in the crowd. And like I said, there wasn't that many people, so he pointed me out, and then I was like, "Yeah, you mean at that point? Come on."
No, that's a
you gotta do it. You gotta do it for the culture, you know.
I'm very happy for you.
Thank you. All my media objectivity just went out the window in that moment. I don't care.
Yeah, that's a whole separate discussion.
If I could have a Mitchell & Ness Chinese New Year throwback Tracy McGrady jersey with Jeremy Lin's signature on it, man.
Listen, it was the parade today. So listen, I feel like kind of anything goes.
But yeah, I mean, at first I was like, let me take some video, let me get the periscopes out. And then after a while, I'm just like, I just kind of want to experience this for myself, because like I was looking around and all the fans, like the excitement that you hear, sort of just like, because you know it's coming towards you, you can hear the sounds, and then you see the first couple of buses, like they had two TTC buses that kind of just like clear the way, and then a couple more floats, and then a couple cars in between. It's just like, it's just the anticipation, and then when you finally see them, the joy, the elation. I kind of just wanted to experience that, so I like started running ahead, and then seeing the car pass me by, the floats and stuff, and then I was just like, I'm gonna just do this a couple times, and I literally did this until King University. So I saw them basically pass by like probably like a dozen times.
No, that's amazing. Like honestly, for me, and I hope some of your older listeners will relate to me, like, you know, it was a very joyful day, but man, when I get into those crowds, when I walk up to those crowds, and it's like, I'm not claustrophobic, but when it gets real packed, like, it's just not for me.
Mm.
Like, I feel like I just get the same joy just being able to watch it at home and just to see the fans, like, see the crowds, like, see all the viral moments and all of that stuff. Like, I was able to take it in that way and then, you know, kind of live vicariously through younger people like you.
Wow. That's why I did the Periscope, man. For you.
Yeah. You assume I use Periscope. Yeah.
Come on, bro. You use IG Live or whatever. Yeah. After the one time we used IG Live, it was too disastrous. We had to
scrap that. For anyone, if any of the 17 people watched our IG Live before Game 5 of the NBA Finals, it's why we lost.
Wasn't your family watching that?
Yeah, my sister hopped on it, and it was an embarrassing moment because I used to be cool.
And then
it was tough.
It wasn't worth it, man. It wasn't worth it. But yo, I gotta say, first off, the parade.
Yes.
I mean, it was just It was I had no idea what to expect. Obviously, we haven't had a championship parade in 26 years.
I don't think anyone knew, and I think that's kind of how it played out.
And when you and honestly, it was one of the, exactly right. I mean, we could talk to this organization and things like that. But like when you think about the number, like beforehand, they're like, oh, we anticipate like 2 million people coming out. You're like, oh, that sounds like a big number. And then when you actually see 2 million people all at once, you're like, oh my god, there's just so many people. And like, the fact that everyone's wearing Raptor gear, and you're seeing all kinds of Raptor, like literally everything imaginable, like all the playoff t-shirts, all the jerseys.
I saw so many of Keyshawn's graphics on t-shirts today.
Yo,
that's respect, Keyshawn.
Respect.
Like they are pulling out. Like I think I couldn't get a close look, but some of them still had like the Yahoo Sports Canada watermark on them. They pulled it straight off the Instagram.
Good. I mean, honestly, good. Because like, yo, there was just so much Raptor gear. Like every single piece of my, I saw somebody wearing, yo, remember when the Raptors had that one season when they started wearing like the national team color jerseys, right? Yep. So they had Italy and they had Spain. Someone had an Anthony Parker Spain jersey on.
That's incredible. That's an incredible best one find. I saw today, I think, was a TJ Ford next to a Rasho Nesterovic.
Yo, 2007, stand up.
Yo, these fans, honestly, everyone came out today. Seriously. Everybody came out.
It was just such a beautiful moment. I've never seen anything like that in Toronto. Like, obviously, you know, the Raptors have gotten more popular throughout the years and things like that. But, like, I mean, just to see everybody all at once. And, like, I'm talking everybody had Raptor gear on. And it was just the emotion, the passion was incredible. There were obviously a lot of great moments from the players. We can go through the roster almost. And just basically grade them on their performance on the parade. I feel like that's something that we can start with, so.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's start at the very top, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard, I think that's a clear A-plus from him today.
A++.
Yeah, A++. I mean, the last laugh is going to be iconic.
he really did a championship speech, man. Think about that. Kawhi Leonard did a championship speech, and he stole the show.
What did you say?
Kawhi Leonard did a championship speech, and he stole the show.
He did. He did. And, you know, the way everyone reacted, all the teammates reacted, it must have been some kind of inside joke that he finally shared with the public.
Mm.
I mean, that's not the first time that they heard that laugh, like, no. Of that variation. So, it was crazy. Shout out to Sarah Jenkins for setting that laugh to the tune to the Game 7 buzzer beater.
Yo, for real, perfect. Shout out.
It was perfect.
The Sarah's tweet right now is at 29K.
Yeah, just need the world to know it was mine.
35K,
it was my idea, though. That's the most important part of this.
Yo, relax. Let Sarah get the shine. Happy birthday, Sarah. Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday, Sarah. What's good? Yeah.
No, by the way, you never want those pictures of you in a cowboy hat to ever emerge, bro. I'm just letting you know. I have them on my phone. I'm never going to say anything, but I'm just letting you know.
I found some photos from that night that I didn't even know we took. But
it was a great night, man. Shout out Rolson. Shout out Rolson.
Shaw rolls on A++, A++ for Kawhi.
Yes, definitely. And it wasn't just like the championship speech and things like that, but like there was a moment where I believe, okay, so it was also captured. You can also see it on Yahoo Sports Canada.
Yeah, the one more year chant.
Yeah, I believe Ailish is the one that actually got the footage, but it was underneath the Gardner. So first off, just take this in for a second, okay? So, okay, you know, when you're driving on Lakeshore and the Gardner's over top of you, right? There's like that, like, underneath the Gardner is just nothing. It's just dirt. It's like mud and dirt everywhere, right? And a lot of that place has sort of, you know, unfortunately been occupied by people who, you know, don't otherwise have shelter, right? That's honestly like what that area is for. And like that area was completely packed with Raptors fans just like running through the mud, basically, to cheer on this team because the path they went on along Lakeshore and then they turned north on York. So, like, first off, this is just a very unlikely place for people to congregate. But then, you know, the people there started chanting one more year for Kawhi. And Kawhi held up one finger. And then all of a sudden, Kyle Lowry came over and was he put up five on his hand, and fans started chanting five more years. And the craziest part about that was Uncle Dennis, who's also on the same float as them, came over, put up five, and was like cheering on the fans and started chanting five more years as well. You know what I mean? So, like an A++++++ performance by Kawhi Leonard. All things.
Yeah, we need to talk about that moment. I mean, we'll probably dissect it on an upcoming series that we're doing. But
yeah, look for that too.
Yeah, like that moment, I'm thinking about that. I mean, this is the time now with 2 weeks left until free agency, where we just have to break everything down. Like, I don't know if it was just in the moment Uncle Dennis got really excited, or if they actually know something, because I feel like his teammates have to know at least maybe something, right? Like what he's leaning towards. Like, think about Fred yesterday at the presser, at his exit interview, when he joked that, you know, if Kawhi leaves next year, then we'll just have to kick his ass. And
that's pretty funny.
You know, today Kyle was just, you know, doing the one more year.
Yeah.
Is it just because they won a championship and they're just on this high right now, so they're fine kind of acknowledging his free agency in that way? Or is it because they know that he is coming back, so they're just playing these jokes, getting these jokes off?
I was going to say, you don't usually joke with something like that unless you're comfortable.
No, because you would just do the standard company line of, you know, it's his decision. And the guys have said that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Like, every
course.
Time they've asked, they have towed the company line of, you know, he's a grown man, it's his decision. So it's honestly just separating whether it's just because they're on this high because they won a championship and nobody really truly cares whether Kawhi goes or not. Like, I'm talking about, like, the team. Like, I feel like the guys don't truly care as much as, like, the fans, right?
Well, they're not stressing about it like the fans are.
Yeah, they're not stressing about it.
No.
Yeah, it's not the same stress. But, like, I don't know. That's why I guess this dangerous area now of, man, there's a lot of positive signs if you want to latch onto them, I feel like.
Yo, of course. That's what I'm saying. The whole vibes of the parade was great. And, you know, honestly, the first sight of Kawhi was, like, you see him, he's wearing Board Man Gets Paid, and he's holding... He's smoking a cigar, and I'm just, like, I looked at the cigar, and I'm like, yeah, that thing looks like a cigarette in his hand.
Yeah.
But no, A+.
He got a plant. The plant guy found
him. Oh, that's right. Yeah,
so he gave him a plant.
The internet is an amazing place.
It was the same guy.
One drunk dude on the road was somehow able to actually relay that real plant to him. Like, he physically handed Kawhi a coactus.
Yeah.
Like, we now know what a coactus is. Like, Nick Nurse talked about a coactus. And they're like, the funny thing was, throughout the parade, there were actually a lot of people that were carrying on plants. And, like, you know, I guess it was sort of like copycats. But then to have the actual real dude standing right by the parade, close enough where he can actually hand that to Kawhi, is just an amazing moment, man.
No, I wanted to ask you, so he briefly talked with Justin Trudeau before they all went on stage.
Yeah.
Do you think Kawhi knows who Trudeau is, or do you think he thought it was a CP24 reporter?
Justin Trudeau definitely looks like a CP24 reporter. I'll say that much. I think he was also wearing jeans and a collared shirt, which is a classic journalist look.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a, like, I don't know. Maybe there are pictures of Obama wearing that, but I doubt it.
I mean, it's kind of like the Canadian equivalent of meeting an Obama. So, like, it is in a way a big moment, but I was convinced that Kawhi had no idea who he was.
I don't think he had a strong idea what he was, but I'm also, I mean, like, Trudeau's been around the Raptors facility a couple times, so maybe Kawhi's already had the introduction there. But also, Trudeau gave a very lame speech.
I don't even remember his speech, to be honest.
It was lame, but it was not as bad as Larry Tannenbaum's speech. That was truly awful.
Well,
but
that was just awkward too, because, you know, the unfortunate shooting incident happened.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure we'll get to, right?
We'll get to that at the end. Let's cover the positives. So Kawhi, A+. Kyle Lowry, I gotta say, for our supporting role, also A+.
The jersey was fire, the Damon Stoudemire.
Yeah, listen, a Damon Stoudemire jersey is just incredible. An incredible way to show love. I will also say that, obviously, you know, Kyle bigging up Kawhi, not only with the five more years chant, which was amazing, but also when they were up on the stage finally at Nathan Phillips, Kawhi did his laugh thing, and then Lowry came over and started chanting MVP and you know, hyping Kawhi up. It was great. It was a great moment. All, you know, classic Kyle Lowry stuff, just being a great teammate. What I also want to highlight, though, Kyle Lowry's wife was the most lit person on the four buses. at the start of the trip. I think maybe later on she calmed down a little bit. I mean, it was like a 5-hour parade, so I feel like, you know, people, unless you're Marc Gasol, you don't have the endurance to do that. But earlier in the trip, she was incredibly lit, and it was great to see. It was great to see.
Yeah, you know, I think I've said this throughout the playoffs. Like, I'm happiest for Kyle, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just so happy. Like, and I think we've gone through this before. Just his whole journey in the NBA and his whole journey here in Toronto and all the slander that he's received in the playoffs. Like, to be validated in this way, like, I'll never get sick of seeing these images of him holding the Larry O'Brien trophy. The Larry OB.
I was going to say, because the one, I mean, like, you could talk about Kyle Lowry you want, about, like, you know, his game doesn't look as aesthetically pleasing. He doesn't get crazy numbers and things like that. But the one thing that Kyle Lowry does is that he wins. And winning the championship is the ultimate signifier of what a winner Kyle Lowry is. And so, I mean, the crowds were chanting Kyle a lot. And that was a float with, because, okay, so they stacked the buses a little bit poorly, I thought. They could have maybe distributed the talent a little bit. But Kyle was on the same bus as Fred VanVleet, as Drake, and as Kawhi. Yeah. And I would say Kyle got as many cheers as Kawhi, if not more.
Yeah.
And you hardly even heard Fred. And Kyle actually at one point pointed to, like, had Fred in front of him, started pointing towards him, trying to get the crowd chanting FVV. But yeah, it was, you know, Kyle's got a lot of love in the city, and deservedly so.
No, that's one of the, you know, that's one of my favorite things of seeing any player kind of win that championship and just get that off their back. And it's just, you can see the relief.
Mm-hmm.
You can just see the relief in Kyle, just the way he conducts himself. Everything, like in everything, body language, the way he talks now. I mean, I'm sure we'll get to Mark, but, you know, Mark truly is relieved. I mean, he was at the exit interview yesterday talking about how winning is kind of a confusing feeling, because as an athlete, you always kind of work towards a goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to that goal, it's like, oh, okay, like tomorrow I'm going to wake up and there's not that challenge anymore.
I'm going to drink 18 beers.
Yeah, so, man, Mark was feeling himself today, man. He was like, oh, man, I don't even know how to describe Mark.
Yeah, let's
today.
Talk about Mark. Marc Gasol is the third star. Third star of the championship parade, man.
Another A++, for real.
Yo, I mean, I know Marc Gasol had like 2 points in game 6 or whatever. It doesn't matter. Marc Gasol, he probably had like two, like, gallons of beer. Like, it just, it was like a ridiculous amount. At one point, he like chugged an entire bottle of wine. And I get that this man is like 7 feet tall and like 30, and he's like a very well conditioned athlete. But like, at some point, that alcohol has got to hit you, right? Like, this man had like 2-4 by himself.
Someone online called him Andre the Giant, man. Those mythical stories of like Andre the Giant, like just drinking like 40 beers a night or something.
Essentially, that's what happened here. And like, I think especially later in the parade, because like I said, I followed this parade like throughout the entire thing, right? Gasol started picking up energy as the rest of the team tailed off a little bit. Like, you can see some of the younger guys, like Pascal got a little too lit, and, you know, Norm got a little too lit, and like those guys didn't have the same energy.
We should
energy.
Say they have probably been partying nonstop too for like 5 days now.
So. That is true. And I'm sure Marc Gasol has been like taking care of his kids and stuff. But like, Mark, at the end, like especially when the parade turned across up, I think Bay, and then across onto University, when that happened, like, it was basically just Mark carrying the way, and Mark was so into it. Like, and the what I liked about Mark was that, you know, him, you know, having the background from being Barcelona, obviously he's seen a lot of Barcelona, you know, parades. There's like a parade every year for Barcelona because they're always winning something. But like, Mark was bringing those like European kind of like celebrations. And for any football fans, like, they know what that means. Like, it's, you know, like there's like a whole different world of celebrations in football. And like, Mark was really just bringing that energy to Toronto. And I was really proud of the fact that I think a lot of people from Toronto, at least because of the international flavor of the city, was able to really respond to that, and like, they knew what to cheer, like singing ole 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 and things like that, and, you know, like the cheer where you like sort of like start shaking your hands and you start lifting up and stuff like that. It was great. Mark was into it, man.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we talk a lot about the international players that are on this roster, and I feel like getting to have that parade today was great for guys like Mark, like Jeremy and Serge and all these guys, to kind of, they've probably seen different celebrations overseas and in the countries that they've grown up in and played in. And it probably did give them some kind of familiarity in terms of just how fanatic it was. I mean, it also helped that there was no barricades. So it took them like 6 hours to get from Exhibition Place to Nathan Phillips Square. But shout out Eric Moreland too. I think there was one point I was watching on TV, like he made sure Mark didn't fall off the bus. So that was Eric Moreland's job. He had one job this season, and he did it.
That was Eric Moreland, bro, A plus plus as well for you. Just for that, like, listen, I don't want Marcus all falling off that bus because he was on the verge of it, man.
Yeah, no, it was I'm glad Mark. You could tell Mark was soaking it in.
Yeah,
like people always talk about, like, oh man, I can't wait to see what this city is like. You could tell by his reaction that he was overwhelmed by it.
Oh, of course, an amazing moment. Serge.
Yeah, Serge. He was at the head of his bus, right?
The head of the first of the four buses, the head of the and he was snake, ahead of the that head first of the snake. Bus. Yeah.
I don't know if did Serge have any great. I don't think he had like the great moments, but I thought his speech was great.
Yep. Was it better than his speech that he gave at the Serge Ibaka Foundation dinner?
No, nothing will ever top. I don't know if there's video of that. I think Open Gym might have done an episode around that. If you get a chance, please look up that Open Gym episode Serge Ibaka hosting his foundation dinner. He basically just talks about where he came from, from the Congo when he was homeless, his dad was in jail, all of that stuff, and getting to this point. And, like, I mean, Will, you and I, we were in attendance, and I think we talked about it that night too. Like, man, when you hear that story, it's like, how could you not root for Serge? Seriously. I know Serge is really frustrating sometimes, but you know what? He's a champion, and he had so many great moments in the playoffs. Yeah. That's all I know about Serge, and How Hungry Are You, and everybody on the team adores him, and, Kawhi loves hanging out with him. And
what it do, baby?
Just everything. Just Mark, like everything. Like
Matt Devlin was lit.
Well, I said today to you, Serge and Kawhi is the new Chandler Parsons recruiting DeAndre Jordan.
Okay. Do not respect Serge Ibaka in this way. I already told you already. All right. Chandler Parsons is a waste, man. But but seriously, Serge, you're right. Like, he did so much in terms of just building chemistry on the team. Like, he gave everyone a nickname.
And that's not cliche stuff.
It's real. Like, you can tell he has that personality stuff where people gravitate towards him. He's a natural leader in that way.
Yes, and he's such a ham when he's in public. I think the teammates just find him to be hilarious because it's like it's genuine.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So great speech. So I'm gonna give him an A. The A plus plus. I think we've done.
Yeah, we gotta reserve those. I gotta say, my favorite Serge Ibaka moment was at some point the Raptors float had driven past this like group of steel drums. I think there was like a child's, like, they look like teenagers playing steel drums. And, like, just seeing Serge Ibaka dancing to the steel drums and, like, holding, like, the African flag that he had. Like, it's just, I guess it was a black flag with, like, the shape of Africa and, like, in gold. Just, like, him dancing along. And then you can, like, if I could just paint this picture, like, you got the steel drums, you got Serge dancing, you got him with the flag. And then in the background, all you can see is the CN Tower, and it's just like, this is perfect. It's perfect. I was really happy for Serge. Who else? I think Jeremy. Oh, no, hold on. Danny Green.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
The hair.
Yeah. Yeah, the hair. Just the hair alone, I think, earns him a B+.
Yeah.
He had a decent speech, too.
Yep.
Danny definitely looks like he's been turning it up for a bit the last few days. Is my assessment of Danny?
Yep. I mean, he looked that way. When I first saw him, I was like, "Yo, Malachi Richardson's back." But Danny looked great. Danny looked great, man. He looked kind of like the that beer Shock Top.
Yeah.
Kind of looked like Shock Top, but seriously, Danny was having a great time. I think Danny and Norm, the two of them together, the shooting guard combo.
Okay, man. Norm, we have to talk about, man.
Okay.
Norm has been turning up since, like, what he gave, like, that hype man speech in the locker room when they were celebrating after game six about Pascal. Like, he was turning up today. I saw him do an interview with Kayla.
Mm.
Like, Norm is not going to be ready to play basketball until January next season, and we're just going to have to accept it.
We only have Norm on the team to beat the Bucks.
Yeah. No, yeah. Like, when Norm's, like, benched and, like, out of shape and can't play for the first half of next season, like, that's just part of the process. We just got to understand the grind, like, and that's it.
Definitely.
Like, that's it. Like, I think, this is, like, a segue, but, like, who do you think is most likely to have a championship hangover in terms of performance? My top guys right now are Norm and Fred.
I feel like, Fred, with the kids and everything, Fred might be a little more chill with it. I feel like Marc Gasol might literally come into camp next year and average like 5 points a game. Like, you think he didn't shoot shots now? He's not going to shoot anything. Not going to rebound, not going to shoot. He's just going to be banging the side of a bus telling people to cheer.
I'm definitely worried about Norm. Like, he's going to be partying pretty hard this summer, I'm pretty sure.
Good, good. Yo, live it up, man. Live it up. Look, listen.
No, live it up, Norm.
Let's Norm go. Was, I would say, out of everyone in the locker room after game six, he was the most lit, man. Like, he poured, like, a whole bottle of champagne over himself. And then he, like, started becoming a city TV reporter. Like, he literally, like, reporters were dawning on him, and he grabbed the mic. He's like, I'm the reporter now. And he started asking questions.
No, Norm's low-key the best hype man on the team.
He's great, man. He's great.
Yeah.
Jeremy
Lin.
Jeremy, I think Jeremy had a great time. Out of anyone, actually, Jeremy signed the most merch. Like, people would just throw things up at Jeremy and he would sign it.
Yeah,
and
well, it since really you are.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Nice to see you.
Since you're not on Instagram, he declared on Instagram at the beginning of the parade that he was going to try and sign every single Lin jersey.
Oh, word?
That he saw. And I mean, you followed the buses more than me.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had your jersey signed as well. I think he actually put in an honest effort to do that.
He really did. I mean, he really did. He came prepared. Also, shout out to Jeremy for bringing his mom on the float. Yo, that's so...
Yeah,
that's
mom
such
was
a
there.
Sweet moment, man.
Brother was there.
Shout out to...
Simu Liu was there.
No, shout out Simu. Shout out Kim's Convenience. Go, I can't wait for season 4 of Kim's Convenience.
Honestly, me and you should have been more assertive and boxed ourselves into that crew.
When I saw Jordy, I was a little bit mad. I was like, Jordy, bro, come on,
y'all
man.
Can never be mad at Jordy. I can't be mad at Jordy.
Jordy, por favor, Jordy, come on.
No. It's stressful, man. It's stressful.
No, for real.
It gets stressful.
I got to say with Jeremy, like, it was just, you know, he's, like, obviously, you know, I mean, like, he didn't necessarily contribute as much on the court.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, in terms of just, like, a guy who's willing to play his role and be a good dude. Like,
yeah,
just a great dude to have in the locker room. Really got along with people.
Yeah.
And like, and for him to do that with the fans, like, you know what I mean? Like, Jeremy, obviously with Jeremy, like, he has an outsized sort of importance that sort of, you know, dwarfs what he does on the floor. But then he really embraces that. And I think that's really important. As someone who's Asian, like, I really, really identify with what he does. So I'm really happy that Jeremy had this moment, man. I'm really happy.
I'm writing a story right now about, like, kind of what the importance of Jeremy winning a championship, even though he barely played, means. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't want to give it all away, but, you know, some of the points I've been thinking about is that, you know, just even him representing kind of Asian brands and Asian themes coming into the arena during Asian Heritage Month.
Yeah.
You know, I think that visibility, it just kind of props up Asians, Asian Americans or whatever. Like, seeing him walk into an NBA arena during a conference finals game wearing it's truly an honor to be an Asian t-shirt. Like, that means a lot. Like that means a lot. And, you know, the one thing too is, like, during this playoff run, a lot of people in Toronto and probably across Canada have tuned in and become basketball fans. Like, my 7-year-old nephew has watched basketball for the first time, and my sister signed him up for basketball classes with CCYA, like, in October. Mm-hmm. Like, now he wants to play basketball and stuff. And, you know, when he's old enough and he wants to talk about it, and then that it might be like this summer because he's like 7 already, so, like, we can have those conversations. When he's going to ask about Jeremy at some point.
Yeah.
because he's going to find out about Jeremy. He's going to realize that he plays on the team. And you know what I'm going to be able to tell him? You know, those are important. I'm going to be able to tell him about Linsanity. He's going to be able to go and watch Linsanity. He's going to get to follow Jeremy's story all the way to Toronto. And him becoming an NBA champion, even though he didn't play an integral part on the court, that's part of his story.
Yeah.
And that's a story that's going to be important for a lot of people. And I know me and you, we made a lot of jokes about Jeremy not playing but I think mostly...
But that's out of love, though. That's out of love.
That was out of love, and I think we were just like, that's like our Asian, because we're actually hurting from it. like when he came here, like, I really thought there was a chance he could play some kind of role, right?
Yeah,
like, I honestly did not envision him not playing at all during the playoffs, except for garbage time.
Same.
So, it is kind of like a disappointing thing, but at the same time, like you said, the way he was today... I think it's great that he, whatever, like, because like you said, man, like, he's like a pop star. Like, he's like on a different level than a lot of these guys. And like, he hears all the criticism. Like, the criticisms to him are very specific to him because he's the Asian player. And I'm really glad, like, he wasn't like sulking today or not enjoying it. Like, I think he's totally reconciled everything. Yeah, he's soaked it all in. And I think he's reconciled the fact that he knows that this is important, regardless of whether he played or not. And he knows that he played a role in this. Like, he did play a role in this.
It's not just about him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he carries a responsibility that's way bigger than what he is. So
no, I'm so happy that he took advantage of this. He took advantage of this, signing jerseys, all of that stuff. I love it, man. I love it.
I got to say, also, he like, again, the fact that he brought his mom on the thing, like...
Yeah, I think it's so wholesome. It's so wholesome, man.
I mean, all immigrant sons want to do is, you know...
Impress their parents.
Exactly. And, like, I don't know how else you can impress your parents by winning two trophies and then going to the championship parade. So, shout out, Jeremy. All right. So, at this point, I might have to address some of the more disappointing performances.
Okay.
Pascal, I thought, was going to be a little bit more energetic, but he just looked burned out. You know what I mean? He looked like game two against the Sixers when he shot 9 of 25. Like, it was that. I was like... What's going on, Pascal? Are you okay?
I think Pascal definitely didn't pace himself properly over the last few days.
He might have went hard.
Yeah, he might have tried to go on the Surge program, but you can't keep up with Surge.
Surge is a veteran, you know.
Yeah,
so.
You can't keep up with Surge.
So yeah, Pascal was a little disappointing. I mean, you saw it a good time. You know, people like, you know, obviously he's immensely popular, and you know, he played up to it. But I think for me personally, I was expecting too much for Pascal to even live up to it. I thought Fred was a little bit muted. Didn't really notice Fred too much on the boat, but also, like, Fred's kind of chill, you know what I mean? So
yeah, Fred's chill, and he was hanging out with Drake a little bit. I think they went live on IG. It was better than ours.
I was going to say, one key moment. I don't know if you saw this, but someone on the IG live or whatever, someone said F Pop.
And really?
I'm not sure if that was Van Vliet or if that was Jeremy Castleberry, but Kawhi was right around the corner, and Kawhi said something like, yo, they can't beat us unless we quit or something like that. It was like right around Kawhi, and he didn't really say like, yo, what, you know, so I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Go look up that video. I mean, it's out there. I think it's on Reddit right now.
Wow.
This
is why I stay off Reddit, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to know too much.
I thought OG was a little bit muted as well. I mean, OG was chill, you know?
I think OG's a little disappointed that, like, you know, I mean, he won a championship, but he didn't get to be a part of this, right?
Yeah.
I think, and you know, if he was healthy, he would have played a pretty big role, I think, in some of these series. So, but, you know, he's young. Like, you know, it's not the end of the world to have a championship at, like, the age of 21.
Yeah, it's not the worst.
And he'll step into a big role next season. So, he'll be fine.
Yeah. The rest of the guys, Jody Meeks, didn't really see much of Jody Meeks. Eric Mullen, we already talked about, he saved Marcus Gasol's life, so he gets an A+. Yeah. Chris Boucher, you know, wore the Canadian flag. You know, it's pretty lit.
But the main guys, like, we covered the real MVPs today.
Oh, yeah. Any special shout-outs to people that were on the floats? What about Drake? Do you like Drake's performance?
Yeah, Drake was fine. I like that his speech was probably longer than all of the other players combined.
Well, you knew that was happening.
Well, I just find it funny that... it's just always funny to me, like, Drake's involvement with the team. Like... I'm not, like, against it or for it. I'm kind of just neutral. But it's just funny to me that, like, Kawhi gives a speech and then Drake gives a speech. Like, you know, if you remove yourself from this whole, like, euphoria, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But
It is pretty funny that he's there. But no, honestly though, like in terms of global ambassadors and things like that, like the fact that Drake was up there like hugging Uncle Dennis and hugging Kawhi and everything like that, like yo, he's clearly great for the team, man.
That's what I'm saying. Like you got Serge, you got Drake. Like they probably all spent a lot of time together this weekend.
Yeah.
And versus Lawrence Frank stalking Kawhi from afar for a whole season. That's why he has to stay. I can't handle this losing to Lawrence Frank. I can't.
Do you think Lawrence Frank was one of the 5 million people in the crowd?
Yo, he probably requested a credential. And
Lawrence Frank probably got a sick sunburn right now. I hope he does, man.
No, just can't lose to Lawrence Frank, man. Just can't lose to Lawrence Frank. That's my new thing now.
Yeah. Man. No, it was a great parade. I think the speeches are pretty well done. Unfortunately, there was the incident that happened. According to reports, there were, I think, two weapons seized, two people in custody, and also two people that suffered non-life-threatening injuries.
Yeah, I think the new report now, the police chief did say just now that there was four people who suffered gunshot wounds today.
Okay.
And like you said, though, I believe all the injuries are serious but non-life-threatening.
So that's good, at least.
Which, to be honest, like given like the chaos that was playing out, this kind of happened when Larry Tenenbaum was giving his speech. And we could see on some of the feeds on TV just the crowd scattering in the back.
Right.
I think a lot of them ran towards Eaton Center or something like that.
Yeah.
And then that place was on lockdown. And you could tell that the crowd, there was just a different energy, right?
Yeah.
Like it became very muted. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate because I'm not sure. I felt like the speeches were a little bit rushed afterwards. First of all, shout outs to Matt Devlin.
Oh, yeah. Big shout out. Matt Devlin, A++, man.
A++. Like yeah. Matt cut off Larry in the middle of the speech and just told the crowd that there's a situation,
yeah,
but also asked the crowd to be calm.
Yeah.
And you know, they kind of carried on. Because that could
get really bad.
Yes, especially you gotta keep the crowd calm. Especially with that number of people, like if you can imagine if everybody starts rushing in certain directions and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like it can get really chaotic. But fortunately, I mean, I know that, you know, that stuff should never happen, but at least the silver lining is that these injuries are non-threatening.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
truly, that's I'm true. Blessed that is the case, and it wasn't maybe a worse situation than it could have been, but it did kind of put a damper on it, and I'm not sure if that's the reason why it seemed like a lot of the speeches were kind of being rushed through.
Mm.
Just from watching like past parades and stuff. I mean, I guess it depends on the team. Well, but sometimes those guys, like, you know, I mean, like you got J.R. Smith up there or something, like,
yeah,
like you're telling me like Serge couldn't have gone like 10 minutes, right?
Like, I think honestly part of it was the fact that the parade was so slow that people were kind of tired. Like I can't imagine how long you would go after doing 5 hours of just nonstop.
Yeah, you're right. It's the combination of those two.
Yeah.
You know, I do wish, I mean, the parade is the parade and, you know, the championship has been won and there's a lot of beautiful moments today.
Yeah.
I think if it was just organized a little better, I think more for the fans too, because so many of them were packed in that spot for like so much longer than they expected.
And yo, and it's just bad. Like it was just first off, if you were anywhere else on the parade route, it was a really great time. You could walk around, you could follow the bus, like you could literally like follow the bus for like several kilometers, like I did. But like just waiting in the square, people obviously waited early and they want to see the speech and stuff like that. I get it, but like it was just, you know, that was just, it turns out to be quite regrettable. And also, I just think in terms of the organization, like they could have set up water tents. They could have set up some like food tents or just something, medical tents. You know what I mean? Like if you see like at a, like a, like if you go to like O'Shea or something like that, like they yeah, have these things set up because they anticipate these big crowds and big crowds have big needs. And I just don't think that was necessarily handled the right way. Also, they could have put some more like barricades on the road so like the buses could actually
move in an expedient manner. Yeah, number one, like not having the barricades is a bad move.
Yeah,
because it's just going to be chaos. Like, it's just going to be chaos. And like you said, like, I don't know what they could have done differently. There's definitely things they could have done differently, like, especially at Nathan Phillips Square.
Yeah.
Maybe even just limit the number that they of people that they would have allowed in there.
That's true.
Like, I get, like, the imagery is great to see it that packed. but just, you know, we're reading a lot of reports too, like online, of like paramedics having to like usher people through to like help them out because of dehydration and things like that. Like, you don't want that stuff, right?
No, it's just, what's like, the point? Like, you're playing yourself at that point.
Yeah, and like maybe just they could have limited the crowd so it wasn't that filled, because I know they set up screens at different other places like Coronation Park and other places, like, or maybe they should have just done it at a whole different venue. But,
well, that's, you know, the thing. I don't think there is a big enough venue for Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to think of that, and it's tough. And that's the thing. I mean, I think that just speaks to other stuff like overpopulation and like congestion in the city, which are like things that we're well aware of, right?
Right.
So, but, you know, yeah, like the shooting incident was unfortunate, and, you know, I think the longer wait was tough for the fans. But honestly, like, all in all, you know, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot worse, and that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. And, you know, it did kind of make the rest of the speeches and things like that, it was just a weird vibe.
It was a weird vibe until Kawhi made his speech, and then everyone just kind of relaxed again.
Yeah. And, like, it's just, I think in that moment, it's just tough, too, because, like, none of us knew exactly, like, how bad the situation was.
Yeah.
So it was good to find out afterwards that, you know, at least the damage wasn't as terrible or horrible as it could have been.
Yeah.
And we can kind of go back to appreciating these moments, too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So,
speaking of moments to appreciate, the Raptors fans booed the crap out of Doug Ford when he was announced.
Oh, yeah, and Masai just kind of shook his hand and walked right by.
I mean, Masai did everything but wipe his hand on his shirt afterwards, man. Like, it was... Masai got right out of there, and then he saw Trudeau, and he gave him a hug. So, you know.
Yeah. So,
not surprising. Although, I have to remind people that, you know, rest in peace, Rob. But Rob and Masai and Drake, together with Matt Devlin, in the 2016, when the Raptors got the All-Star game, I think that's actually a couple years ago, but the 2016 All-Star game announcement, that was one of the defining images of the franchise for a while, was just those three people together, and it was like
such a strange union.
Yeah, because like at all points, Rob Ford looked like he was in danger of falling off the stool.
Yeah.
So he just never looked like completely balanced, so his face was always stressed. I don't know. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we'll always have those boos.
We'll always have those boos, you know? And I'm happy that, well, I mean, I don't know. I'm happy that the fans were able to express themselves in that moment. But all in all, I mean, like, I just think it was a very, obviously the violent incident is just very regrettable. And it's, quite honestly, it's a very regrettable part of the experience of being in Toronto. And it's a problem that should be curbed. But overall, it was just such a jubilant, emotional moment. And I'm almost happy in a way that the parade got like took so long, because it just gave people a real chance to just soak it in and really appreciate it. Because, like, this is the thing with Toronto. Like, it's just so jaded and, you know, it's been overlooked. And there's always this and that. It's not just about the Raptors. It's about everything. And it's like, I mean, honestly, like, people come from all over the world, from, like, all walks of life. Toronto is obviously a very, you know, open and accepting place, at least relative to other places in the world, and people choose to come to this city. Like, my parents chose to come to this city of all places, you know, like 19 years ago, and you know, they could have brought me and my family and, you know, anywhere else, but they chose to come here, and the same story for a lot of people. And I'm just happy that there's a moment where we can sort of just sort of celebrate and sort of revel in the pride of being in Toronto. And that a Toronto team has, you know, made it to this point where they could share this moment with the world. So I was just very happy. Throughout the day, I was just grinning from ear to ear, man.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm happy for everyone. I think, you know, there's also just a sense of relief, too. You know, I think, you know, especially for us, like, first of all, shout outs to Vivek. People should read Vivek's recent shout story. Out, just his kind of own personal take on this championship run, what it means,
right.
Touches on kind of what Will just talked about. But, you know, I think for a lot of us and people listening too, but like us, like, we were covering the series, you were traveling during the playoffs. Like, I mean, I know we're always wrapped up in Raptor stuff, but these past 2 months, it's gone to like another level.
Oh yeah.
Like, it has consumed our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know when we made the finals, it was like, all right, we got to the finals. It's great. You know, KD, if he comes back, the Raptors are probably not going to win. But, you know, then it became real. Then they went up 3-1, and it was like, no. The Raptors have to win now.
Yeah.
Like, they have to win. And they did, and they did it in the most stressful fashion possible, probably.
Yeah, naturally.
Naturally. But there's just, I feel like there's just a sense of relief and a sense of like the completion of like the journey.
Yeah, for sure.
Like we're there. Like yeah. It's here and it's like, and that's why today, yeah. Like that's the excitement that everyone had. Like you had, I had just watching on TV, watching all the fans and like the players and stuff. Like we'll have this forever.
Yeah.
We'll have this forever.
We'll
and then
never
who knows?
Forget this night, man. Or this
we'll
afternoon.
Never forget. We'll never forget. And like still, like when I pull up photos or see random moments or things like that, like it still hits me.
Yeah.
Like it still hits me. Like it's kind of incredible.
It really is, man.
It's incredible.
Thank you to the Raptors. Seriously, thank you. Thank you for giving us this moment.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
And yeah, Alex, bro, this is great. This is great. I thank you for reliving this glorious
day. Yeah, you gotta let me promote my stuff now.
Yeah, what do you got going on? I heard you have the number one best selling book on Amazon right now. What's going on?
Yeah, so during the finals, Sean Woodley, another talented writer, and I worked on a commemorative book about the 2019 season. It's out now. You can pre-order on Amazon. Just look up the book. It's called We the Champs, the Toronto Raptors' Historic Run to the 2019 NBA Title. I think the easiest way to look it up is just look up We the Champs with my name, Alex Wong, or Sean Woodley. It's for a very good price of $19.95, and we've got Jack Armstrong, who wrote the foreword to the book, and there's a lot of stunning photography that the publishers have put in the book, and Sean and I contributed our writing as well with recaps and features. To be honest, like the way I've been telling people, like, you know, we've been buying a lot of merch, a lot of memorabilia. This is kind of like a keepsake too, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it really captures the entire season. So yeah, if anyone's interested, you know, feel free to hit me up on Twitter if you have any questions or things like that. But you can pre-order it now at all the major book sites. We the Champs, Alex Wong, and Sean Woodley.
Yeah, definitely. And I may or may not have gotten an advanced copy of it. And there's interviews in there. There's features in there with Kawhi, with Kyle, a lot of the other players. So
you want everything from this run, man.
You want to see everything from this run, and this book is going to be a part of that.
It's a cool book. Honestly, it's a cool book to own. Yeah. I've seen the PDF copy of it. I think the physical copies will be hitting stores, I believe, next week.
Cool.
And it was, you know, shout out Jack Armstrong for helping us out. Didn't want that to be confused with Jack from Twitter. So I had to say his full name.
All right. I don't know if anyone's thinking that, but.
Yeah. but yeah, no, everyone should check it out. I'm pretty proud of it.
There you go. Alex, it's a great night, man. We will be back on the airwaves soon. On Wednesday, we have something planned. I don't want to tease it exactly yet just because I want to make sure all the details are locked down. But Alex and I will be back on Wednesday to talk about that. Also, look for some Kawhi-related programming from me and Alex. I believe that's dropping tomorrow.
Yeah, some Kawhi-related programming. Yeah. Just honestly, follow Yahoo Sports Canada.
Seriously, man. Who's giving you better coverage
Twitter,
on this?
On Twitter, on Instagram, like writing, social, photos, videos, memes. Like, what else do we do? Podcasts.
Everything.
Like, I feel like we've got
all
everything
the photography.
Covered. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we've got everything covered.
Yeah.
So follow them. And you know I never rep teams like that. So I'm definitely going out of my way.
Yeah.
So, you know it's legit.
All right, man. This is great. I'll catch you guys Wednesday.